Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast presented by MyBookie. My name is Joe Kuzma, and today I'm joined by my good friend, good buddy, old pal, my chum, A1, Mr. Brian E. Roach. Brian, what's going on?
I'm touched and happy and thrilled to have read the comments on your wonderful and excellent Juju Smith-Schuster, Zach Banner interview where they noted that I wasn't there and they felt bad for me. I appreciate that comment.
Of course. Well, we missed you, of course. And, you know, it's always tough. It was like, you know, I had tried to get each of those guys individually, but that wasn't going to happen either. Their schedules are just so tight and jam-packed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we know from past experience here, it's like when we try and do like me, you, and the professor, we have anything more than two people talking and how the conversation can, you know, end up with interruptions and things like that. And we kept it kind of orderly and all. Well, thank you for the compliment of saying the fantastic show. I don't know that everyone agrees with you being missing it. It would have been even better, maybe. I guess I'll put it that way. But, folks, you can't see Brian right now. He's wearing like a derby, a derby hat.
It is not. It's a Bruce Arians hat. It's not a derby.
A derby.
I don't know what the hell they call these things.
Governor.
It's my Ireland hat. That's all. I bought it in Ireland when I was pretending to be John Wayne in The Quiet Man.
You know, that's not a I am not a John Wayne guy. You'll have to go back to my dad for that. More of a Clint Eastwood guy for any Westerns I ever got into. And it's been ages since I've watched, you know, Outlaw Josie Wales or anything like that of that nature.
Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
Well, there's Unforgiven. You shot an unarmed man. He should have armed himself.
Yes.
So, yeah, those are, oh, man, now you're talking. Man, you threw me so far off. I was going to. I was thinking about the whole Irish thing, and I'm just going to leave it where it is. You should wear that for St. Patrick's Day next year, provided we all get unlocked from our cages and can go celebrate. That's when everything started to,
yes.
They started to lay the smackdown on us. Well, Steelers are looking to lay the smackdown this upcoming season, which, you know what? A week from now. I mean, it's a football Friday, Brian. I think you got your Steelers gear on already. I got my Steelers gear on finally. I pulled it out of the doldrums, the closet, and it's time. And usually this stuff comes out a lot earlier, and we're talking about, you know, who impressed us in preseason games or how bad the week four preseason game was. And I guess we'll just be talking about how bad the week one regular season games are, because we used to say they were an extension of the preseason, right? Well, geez, yeah. Now that they don't have a preseason, it's like we may not get any it might be sloppy football until November or something. And until Turkey Day, who knows? So I don't know. We got some questions and answers of our own, or maybe some that we've seen around. Just you know, I want to do some shaming of some social media stuff beforehand, because I didn't get a chance to do this. We haven't done it for a little while, but I haven't had a chance to talk about any news or anything that's happened. You know, we had the interview earlier this week and things of that nature, but. First and foremost, praise the Lord. Who on earth wanted Leonard Fournette on this roster? It's like, how many running backs? Who are we going to get rid of? Some people are like, yeah. Well, hey, trade James Conner, trade Jalen Sanders. You know, it's got to be something that the Jaguars would have actually wanted in a trade. And the guy was unhappy there. He had had some problems. And then people don't realize that he's been banged up or injured. Anybody who's played fantasy football and has had Leonard Fournette on their fantasy roster understands that he was not an upgrade to James Conner in any way, shape, or fashion. Even if you only have James Conner for, let's say, 13 games, there's no upside to that, let alone you got rid of all the other knuckleheads out of this locker room. It seems like a tight-knit group now, so why would you want to you know, spoil that or upset the apple cart there?
I can't remember whether I saw this post on Facebook or on Twitter. But somebody said, you know, Walmart lets go an employee and Steelers fans want to bring him in. I get it. Look, you know, there's always that shiny new toy syndrome. There's always that, you know, oh, grass is always greener syndrome. And with Leonard Fournette, of course, there's always the horrific memory of the 90-plus yard run in that game.
It didn't count. Everybody had given up by that point.
I know. I realize that, but that's what's in their mind. And that's the guy they think they're going to get. Oh, Leonard Fournette, every time he touches the ball, he's going to go 90-plus yards and win. People are nuts. What can I tell you? They're nuts.
Well, as we speak, there in one of the Facebook groups, somebody shared that the Miami Dolphins are shopping former first-round quarterback Josh Rosen. And that's all the more I'm going to say about that. Why are you sharing this in a Steelers group? Like, get out of town. Like, seriously. It's, you have Paxton Lynch. That's who this guy is. He's just younger. And Paxton, yeah. Well, I should say they have Paxton Lynch. I don't think they'll have Paxton Lynch in about, not even 48 hours or so, whatever, by 4 p.m. Eastern time Saturday, which will be tomorrow. That's going to be all the cuts. And then the practice squads start to get established at noon on Sunday. So when we come back to you guys early next week on Monday or Tuesday, we're going to be talking all the roster moves, the 53-man roster, the 16-man practice squad, et cetera, et cetera. But geez, oh man, Josh Rosen. That just, you know what? I shouldn't even have pulled this up yet because I already forgot the other dumb thing that I had seen in regards. Oh, it was the trade Juju. Was that for the Fournette thing too, or it was for somebody else? I don't remember what it was, but it was somebody who was enamored with a college running back. Who knows what college football is even going to look like this year? A guy that's not even available to the NFL yet. Trade to another team to get their first round pick to guarantee you could go get this guy at running back for next year when you don't have James Conner. So you want to get rid of essentially your top wide receiver, the veteran of your wide receiver room, to try and get a first round pick where you don't even know if that first round pick, how many running backs go in the first round to begin with? I don't know. I don't know how people connect the dots and say these things. This Josh Rosen thing just threw me off. We need to go and talk about some other things. It's just, I mean, quarterback wise, it sounds like Ben's back. It sounds like Ben's better than ever. Now they're even talking about extending Ben even longer, which, you know, for all the people that are Mason Rudolph haters or whatever else, that'll go beyond his rookie contract. I know your hand's in the air. But Kevin Colbert.
Hater is not accurate, though. I'm not a hater.
Did you hear Kevin Colbert? He says he looks like a veteran. Everybody's been giving Mason Rudolph a lot of praise and credit, and it sounds like he's connecting passes and getting the job done. I know it's practice.
Until the other day when it was intercepted by Mason Rudolph, bounced off this guy's hand, and everything was bad.
You're going to have that, though. Ben, remember, Ben was washed up like in 2017 when he threw five picks against the Jaguars like a month into the season.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And they went 13-3, and that still wasn't good enough, of course, losing to the same Jaguars.
Let me ask you a question about Ben. Have you watched any of the Ben documentary series that's out on the YouTube's interwebs?
I saw the second one's out. I got to catch up on that.
Yeah, and the reason I bring it up is it's one of the things that I learned through watching it and was interesting to me is that, and we had speculated about this for a long time, this has been around for a long time, this injury he had. He ripped some of those tendons many, many years back, and he's had consistent pain in that elbow for years. So, you know, I think that this is going to be an interesting year because as you said, he appears to be back. Everything we've heard has been like crazy positive about Ben. And I really honestly believe this may be the first time in, you know, 6, 8, 10 years that he's throwing without pain of any kind.
Yeah, I should have stayed off Facebook. I don't know if Ben's being dramatic or not. I was going to get into running backs in a second, too. So it's funny that I just saw this. But, aside from Mason's going to be the backup, they're talking Ben extension. I don't know how much of it is Ben being overdramatic or sometimes he could be a diva, but if the guy's saying he's feeling better than ever and the powers that be feel that he's better, they're not trying to shove him out the door. They're trying to secure him with the team longer into the future. I think that's a pretty good sign, regardless of what we have seen or have yet to see. But do we need to pick up Adrian Peterson, just released by the...
Oh, come on.
What do we call him now? The Washington football team? I mean, that's the end of the road here. I mean, the guy had a career renaissance. Jeez. He had a career renaissance. I mean, he's been... How old is he now? I mean, it's...
400. He's older than me. 477.
Well, his vessel is 3,000 years old and comes from wherever, the Mists of Avalon. I don't know. 35-year-old running back. He's not Frank Gore. And I don't know that I would have wanted Frank Gore either. When you got the guys that you have on your roster, who are you bumping off? But when it came to Fournette or any of this stuff that's going on, we're going to see other cuts coming around. Probably maybe somebody even like LeSean McCoy, who, you know, everyone's still kicking the tires on. Looks like he's going to be forced out of that situation with Fournette going to Tampa. But I mean, James Conner is still here for at least one more year. Everybody was all about Benny Snell football last year, right? He's trimmed down. He's faster. He's whatever. And they just drafted Anthony McFarland. You still have the Jay Slash that's back there. Four guys. And there are still guys that are going to end up on the practice squad who took some snaps last year, like a Trey Edmonds or Kareth White or I don't even remember who else. They had Tony Brooks James, but he's not around. And just to throw that name out there too, it's like you forget just how banged up this team was. You got a stable of good backs. I understand you want to throw someone else in there, but I don't know. Some of these players, I would think somebody like AP would probably be, you know, he'd be okay with being like a backup. He's not looking to probably be a starter. He probably realizes his role and where he is in a pecking order. And if he were to continue his NFL career somewhere, you know, why not collect a paycheck, help maybe mentor some other guys and realize that, you know, anything else you get from here on out is bonus for your career, a bonus season or bonus time or whatever, extra time. But it's just... you know, otherwise, it's like there's no reason to go reaching to make these type of moves. You're not going to put Adrian Peterson on your practice squad. You know what I mean? So,
right.
It's I don't know. It's another one of those things, like you say, Brian. It's like everybody, we would exhume the dead if we could in some cases to bring some guys back. I mean, some people still think that Hines Ward or Troy Polamalu should come back and play on this team, or Jerome Bettis. I mean, Bettis. How old's Bettis already? He pushed 50, didn't he? He's up there.
Getting up there.
48. Yeah, he's 48 years old, and some people would probably still want to bring him back. So, I don't know, man. I really try and stay away. And I know some of even our guys are like, why are you in these groups? Right? I like to get the pulse, and I like to speak, and I also like to share our content with everyone there. But, I mean, there's just a segment of folks that are just – they're nuts. I don't know. They've been locked up too long or something like that. Maybe they got the virus.
I'm telling you this is not to, I can't remember what movie this is from. Oh, it's from Scrooged, Bill Murray's movie. But basically, I guarantee you, they've been the same way forever. This is not new. This is not them now changing. They were like this 7 years ago or 5 years ago or 3 years ago when I actually was active in those groups on Facebook. They were like that then. It's one of the reasons I'm not active in those groups on Facebook anymore.
I don't have a choice but to be. So
I know. you're doing the good work, my friend.
I am doing the good work. The thankless job. Another Bill Murray movie is Groundhog Day when you see this stuff pop up every now and then. So did we think what are we thinking? We think in the Steelers we talked about this last year. Will Tomlin and company run the wheels off James Conner, or will we see Mark Cabali had like that magic number. What was it? Like 21 touches, 22 touches, something like that. Are we going to see more of like Benny Snell or Anthony McFarland, or are we going to see some of these guys? Because we really haven't. I've done the research over the years, and we know when Tomlin first came into the league, he had Weldon Moore because they didn't throw a lot of balls Willie Parker's way. He was the third down back.
Yeah,
I guess it depends on who can block and who can't, and whatever other things they're going to do with Jalen Samuels is the utility guy that kind of plays a multitude of positions. I don't know. I wonder if they're going to try and preserve James Conner at all and limit some of his touches. But we also know the other magic number is what? The running backs need to touch the ball 25 times, whether that's in the run or pass game. The Steelers seem to always win when there's that balance there, and when there's not, they don't. Provided, well, I still don't even think the guys that were you know, coming off the practice squad last year, even combined for 25 touches. So I think that was still valid because a lot of those offensive drives were three and outs or six and outs or something like that. So any running back by committee? I mean, I would, with the number of guys that they have, you would like to think so, but I don't see Anthony McFarland on the field a whole lot as a rookie. I really don't. It's just never been, you know, their MO. Benny Snell, though, I think could kind of force his way into the picture.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that the thing that runs through my mind is, what are you saving James Conner for? Right?
Yeah, you don't know.
You're not extending him. You're not going to extend him. You're not going to sign him at the end of this season. His history is such that, you know, unless you get – we've talked about this a lot. Unless you get a bargain basement kind of a hometown advantage deal – You're not bringing James Conner back next year. So what are you saving him for? I would be stunned if they don't run him into the ground at this point, simply because that's, you know, they like – Tomlin has that history. He likes a feature back. He likes a guy who takes the load. I expect them to give him, you know, some breathers every now and then, and I think that'll be Benny Snell's opportunity. But – you know, they're going to get the unless Benny Snell forces James Conner to the sideline, I think James Conner is going to exactly be in Willie Parker's shoes. And he can call him up and say, how did your wheels feel after that season where they ran your wheels off? Because my wheels hurt. But, you know, that's just where I see it being.
Well, Willie was a little older, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was. James is much younger than Willie was at that point.
I mean, and I think James would happily assume carrying the rock as many times as possible as opposed to Lev Bell, because this is a guy that needs to prove he could stay healthy and get a second contract, whether it be with the Steelers or not. He gets that second contract, though, Brian. What exactly prices him out of Pittsburgh? I don't see James Conner as one of these guys getting $10 million a year or getting the stupid Joe Mixon contract.
No, he's not going to get those kind of offers. But, you know, look, if he plays his way into a deal, somebody will be stupid, right? Somebody will overlook the injury history and throw money at him. The Steelers are not going to be able to match. On top of that, as we have not necessarily talked to heavily, next season's going to be a rough one for the Pittsburgh Steelers salary cap wise. So, you know, they're not going to have money to spare to throw it at guys like James Conner and whatnot. And they're going to depend a lot on rookie deals to get them through the next couple of years and try and figure out how to get players that they want to keep and move forward. Because it's going to be tight based on the projections for what the salary cap's going to be going down to next year.
Well, it wasn't supposed to be that way. That's the thing.
Right, it wasn't.
Yeah, so if anybody hears this and they're like, they're going to hear it next year and they're going to be complaining. When this team, they never know what they're doing, this front office and organization. This whole pandemic thing is really, putting the screws to a lot. The whole NFL, all 32 teams are going to have some issues. It will be interesting because I think there's just going to be a lot of homeless, jobless players. I mean, the guys that are the top dollar. You look at Clowney right now and his demands. I hear the Saints all of a sudden, oh, gee, there's the other one. Go get Clowney. But no. Jump over to the line. Let's jump over to those edge defenders for just a second. It's like, who's Clowney going to play in place of? How much money is he going to command? You look at the franchise.
I'd rather have Bud.
And Bud has put up similar or better numbers.
Better.
I mean, yeah.
Last couple seasons, better numbers. The hell with whatever is.
Jadavian.
The hell with that clown.
I don't know what he's asking for. I don't know if it's more longer term. I mean, some teams may be looking at him as a one-year deal, and that's because of the production that he's had. So you got to go out on the field and prove it. I think he's looking for something that's a longer term with a sizable guarantee. I mean, you look – here's the thing I was going to say about Conner. Joe Mixon, 4 years, $48 million. $12 million a year. Like – I don't know that Connor's a double-digit guy. I mean, for the longest time, it was Adrian Peterson was the only guy that crept over with the $10 million plus. And you got a couple of guys in that territory. You got Bell, and, you know, the grass was not greener with gangrene. And you got Zeke. You got Christian McCaffrey. I'm missing one other guy. I'm missing somebody. Oh, Derrick Henry just signed that monster deal, too. And Derrick Henry's another one that, you know, he looks like a man amongst boys. when he plays out there. He's not your prototypical running back size. He's
correct.
He's tall and he's huge. And we saw what he did, but her team's going to game plan and be able to limit him. And then that you throw that money, you know, out the door. And we saw the deal that Todd Gurley got. And a lot of these are like the balloon that loses air and fizzles away. So I don't know what kind of market would be for James Conner. But as you mentioned, that salary cap could be a huge issue. But back to that, that's why they don't have the money now or in the future for a Clowney. And who are you taking off the field to let him play for the amount of money you're paying him? You're paying Bud $16 million. And TJ Watt was runner-up for defensive MVP.
Yeah.
You're not – what's Clowney going to do? You're going to have him play inside linebacker. I mean, he's not going to get on the field. There's no spot for him on this defense. That's just, you know, the way it works. So we did our running backs. We got our quarterbacks. What else are we looking at here? Wide receivers. I don't know. I don't know if I have a whole lot to say with the wide receiver room here. It just seems like everybody here has tremendous upside, even Juju, because Juju is going to be looking at a bounce back year. You're wondering if James Washington, Deontay Johnson are going to ascend further. And I think Washington's at most risk to maybe lose some playing time to Chase Claypool. If Claypool proves that he's, you know, halfway solid and you're looking at a big deal with Juju could be in the same situation where they're saying goodbye to him too. You just never know. I mean, he could be looking over his shoulder at his replacement, which was very awkward asking or hearing about him talk about that. But it's no difference than years ago we had, what, Carlos Emmons on the show, and I think they drafted Joey Porter. Was that his successor? And it's just these things happen, and he talked about that. You know, you're always fighting to keep your job. You know, it's a very short window. But just in speaking of all of this, you got a number of guys on the bottom half of this group. You got four for sure that are all locks and may have huge I don't know. I see one 1,000-yard receiver, and it's only because there's a lot of mouths to feed.
I don't know. I let me put it this way. You know, I'm a defensive guy, right? Yeah. I'm a guy that loves my defense. I bought a Chase Claypool jersey.
Yeah.
I tell people never, ever buy a jersey on a rookie. Don't buy rookie jerseys. You're insane. I bought a Chase Claypool, whatever the hell his name is.
Mapletron.
I bought a Chase Claypool jersey. I've got a Chase Claypool signed full-size helmet. I'm in. I'm all in, man. I'm all in on the Mapletron hype. It's blame it on Zacadonia. Blame it on somebody else. Blame it on all the positives coming out. I don't know. I'm in. And I think he's going to press for playing time a lot faster than people anticipate, despite what Colbert was saying the other day about they don't like to force guys in early. I think he's going to push for playing time because I just think he's that good.
You know what? That is a good point with the rookie. When Martavis Bryant took forever to get out there, and that was my argument against Juju. But Juju got out there really quickly because he was so much better than some of the other guys that we didn't get out there quickly, like Sammy Coates. So it's going to be interesting to see, and it's going to be interesting to see whose time does he cut into. I mean, if James Washington, who always looks the part, right?
Yes, he does.
It's tough because, you know, even with the poor quarterbacking that you had during the season last year, these guys were still able to look like stars at certain points. Particularly, I think Deontay Johnson's the guy that's not going to come off the field as often. I really think he's going to be a versatile chess piece. And if anything, I think he's the one who could be the 1,000-yard receiver. But Juju is still a favorite target of Ben's. And Ben has that trust thing in the back of his head. It's just a matter of if Juju has some of these dropsies like he did early on last season or any ball security issues.
Yeah, that's
you know,
the one.
You got to keep
that's
it in the back
of your head. That's the one that'll if he has them, if he hasn't resolved those kind of issues, that's the one that'll make Ben look elsewhere.
Yeah, and elsewhere would be any of these other guys. And it'll be interesting to see what goes on. Ryan Switzer, are they going to have him returning kicks or punts? Probably Johnson is the punt returner.
Doesn't sound like it. It doesn't sound like they're going to have him doing it.
I don't know, man. I guess they've been splitting time. But then you got the other guys that are still here. Like, do you have a sixth wide receiver? I know we've kind of kicked the tires on this. Has Deion Kane done enough? He's the guy that was kind of the one who's been there. But you got hearing a lot of good things about Ray McCloud. They just went out and signed DeAndre Tompkins. It's all interesting stuff, man. So we're going to find out here just shortly to see how many wide receivers make it here. We got some other spots to talk about here.
I say five.
Five? I don't know. It could be six. I guess it depends on who they feel safe maybe stashing on the practice squad. So,
yeah.
You know, before we get any further with some of that, I know season's right around the corner. You may be a betting person. You still got NBA and NHL playoffs. There's still baseball. There's all kinds of other things going on. But football's around the corner, too, and that's where you might turn to MyBookie, because the winning season returns at MyBookie, and the winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. We've been on the site before in the past, Brian. There's so many different things that you can put your money down on here. And at MyBookie, winning season means hitting all of your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Although we don't get to see the Steelers play any rivals right away. You know what I mean? So Giants, Broncos, you know, we got Texans. You got some time before I think we start hitting smashing the Browns and Ravens and Bengals in the mouth. But regardless, it's time to celebrate. The NFL season is right around the corner. Invest in your intuition. Use the promo code, and this is our promo code, in order to double your first deposit. Use the promo code SteelCity. New players get up to $1,000 in free play. That's designed to add
what?
$1,000.
What? $1,000 free play? Holy crap.
You just blew someone's speakers out somewhere, Brian. But in case they didn't hear it, that was louder for the people in the back, right? $1,000 in free play to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash, use the promo code SteelCity, and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie. So, we should talk about Super Bowl odds and stuff like that here. Maybe we'll do that early next week, too, before we get on previewing pre-game football. Yeah, pregame.
I can't say how excited I am the fact that we will have a pregame show. Holy crap.
Although we'll have to wait until Monday while everyone else gets to enjoy the games earlier. You know what I mean?
True. I know. It also means we have a late night show on Monday night for the post game.
Well, not as bad as usual, though, because it's the early, little earlier. That's since true. It's a doubleheader. That's always rough. And the holidays are always rough. So, you know, when we
We have Monday's off day, right? It's an off day.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tuesday. Well, no, wait, what are you talking about? This Monday? Yeah.
This Monday I'm off. Next Monday we're not off.
Yeah. What's today? Football Friday. That's right.
It's Football Friday. Yeah.
Getting spun in circles. What did we talk about? We missed some offensive positions. Offensive line, we're hearing all kinds of things. Hopefully David DeCastro is good to go. Marquise Pouncey rehabbed.
I'm a little worried about that.
Rehabbed a torn meniscus and didn't have surgery. I mean, that's some crazy talk here among the two stalwarts here, the two all pros. I mean, it's got me a little concerned. I mean, I don't know what's going on here at right tackle. Is it Zach Banner? Is it Chukwuma Okorafor? You know, we've got Kevin Dotson standing in for DeCastro and maybe even
Doing well.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And doing well. Can he do the same thing at left guard? Is Matt Filer looking over his shoulder too? Stefan Wisniewski came here as a Steelers fan and a Pittsburgh native, Western Pennsylvania native. And he's not even being talked about. You know, I said he would probably be the backup center, but I didn't think he wouldn't be the starting left guard in place of Ramon Foster. This is some crazy talk here. The only guy we're not talking about is the guy that's got 1 year left on his contract, and that's Alejandro Villanueva. This might be the last. We heard DeCastro talk about it in regards to, you know, Villanueva, and he, you know, he got started older and that, maybe walking away, retiring. This might be the last stand for this collective group. I mean, it was already, you know, Marcus Gilbert was the first guy out, and now Ramon Foster, you're starting to see it cycle through. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, I just talked to Zach Banner, and he's such a likable guy, and got to hear that he's 335 instead of 360. And that's, you know, that's huge. I imagine, too, We didn't get really into stuff like that, like the muscle mass and BMI and stuff like that. But I imagine all of those numbers are improved too. And you look at it and you're like, well, 25 pounds, that's not much for a guy who weighs 360. Well, it's probably 25 pounds plus with muscle mass. And he's leaner and quicker and all of those different things. So it's going to be interesting to see. We never had any of these concerns, I think, when Mike Munchak was here. You know what I mean? You would think, hey, he could just take these guys like Putty and mold them however they want. Which, by the way, Cam Sutton's Putty, isn't he?
Yeah.
He was Putty, too. We'll talk about him in a second. Yeah. But, I don't know what to think about all this and if I should be concerned because – you know, they drafted Kevin Dotson, but how many other guys have they drafted that are really lying in wait here? Everybody's like an undrafted free agent, and I know they've really, it's been their bread and butter on the offensive line, finding undrafted guys or street free agent guys. Ramon Foster was one of them. They find some of these guys, and they're able to plug them in, and they succeed. But how much longer before that could be a recipe for disaster? You don't want to get Ben hurt again. You know what I mean? So I am concerned about the offensive line. I thought they would maybe have a bounce back, but hearing about some guys being dinged up and things of that nature is really, it's really concerning.
Yeah. This is premature, but Dotson is a GAM in the making. He is definitely showing out. I'm very concerned about the DeCastro issue in the fact that, he's missed a lot of practices. He may not, we don't know. He didn't practice. If he doesn't practice today, does that mean he doesn't play in the first game? I don't know what's going on there. That is definitely concerning. I think Pouncey looks fine. I think that he took the recommendation to rehab as opposed to have surgery, as a good thing. Plus, I think he'll just be better because Ben's back. He'll be more comfortable, and he has said he's more comfortable. It's more normal to him now. But yeah, whether or not it's Chukwuma Okorafor out there or Zach Banner, and by the way, it really terrified me to hear that I weighed 1 pound less than Zach Banner when he was huge. back in the day, pound, because I was 359.
I couldn't.
And he was 360.
That.
I'm like, what the hell? The offensive line is a little troubling. I'm not really so much worried that they're going to get overpowered and Ben's going to get swamped and back to the days when the guy whose hat I'm wearing, Bruce Arians, tried to get him killed all the time. I don't think it's going to be like that because I think Ben's smarter. I think he gets rid of the ball quicker. I think, we're likely to still be fine. But it is concerning to think that the guys we're counting on may not be there. So, we don't want this to be a jigsaw puzzle, so to speak, throughout the season. You need stability. These guys need to be able to communicate well together and work well together. So, that is a little bit of a concern.
Yeah. Well, speaking of other blockers and concerns, Derek Watts, another guy that's been banged up, and we saw what it was like to not have a fullback last year. And I know Rosie Nix already got, jettisoned from the Colts. So, I wonder if he was ever able to rehab properly and get back on track. It doesn't sound like it, if he was that early of a release, which is unfortunate for a guy that was, a Pro Bowl caliber guy for the
I liked Rosie.
So Rosie was fun and great special teams player. Great special teams player. So
absolutely.
So Derek Watts got me a little concerned there too. But then let's talk about some other guys that might do some blocking. I hear Eric Ebron. The word on the street is he doesn't, and I really don't know how much he needs to. I mean, if you're going to put him in the slot and he just kind of. Is he going to do one of these Vance McDonald things where it's an obvious flag? He just like runs into a guy and sets a pick play or what? So I'm not sure, but I wonder, I'm thinking to myself like the hype, nobody's talking about Vance and, Eric Ebron, there's a lot of hype there. And I understand like he's put up some numbers. He was a former first round pick. He's got all that pedigree, when he played for the Lions, it took some time for things to click, and it did. I think he was like 10th overall pick. There was a lot of criticism of that. I think some of that still carries into people's thoughts about this signing, but he's not being counted on to just be the only guy in this offense either. He's just another component, as Vance McDonald is too. I think pairing them together with both of them healthy, that's going to be a nightmare for opposing teams. If we lose one of them, I think that becomes a little more worrisome, because then you can end up losing both of them if they're overused. It's almost like the James Conner type thing. I'm just hoping you keep both of these guys healthy, and I'm excited to see what happens with Ebron, because Ben hasn't had like that security blanket target since Heath Miller retired.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see. You know, Ebron tweeted the other day, maybe yesterday, I can't even remember. He sent out a tweet that said, "Feels like I should have always been here," or "This is where I should have always been," and that. I think that happens to a lot of guys who come to Pittsburgh. It's that kind of enthusiasm that makes you feel like, okay, that's on the upside. Yeah. If we can keep those two guys in, think about that lineup for a second. Think about the lineup of having Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron as two tight ends, having Juju maybe even in the slot at that point, having Deontay Johnson out there as well, and then whoever, throw Chase Claypool out there, throw James Washington out there. What the hell is the defense going to do down in the red zone with those kind of guys? They're all 900 feet tall, and this will be the largest lineup. Well, Deontay Johnson's not 900 feet tall. I take that back.
And they're not. Is Godzilla like rising out of the river right behind the scoreboard? Yeah, is that who we're throwing to?
Ben hasn't had that kind of height at target wise in forever, since Plaxico, really, consistently. So this is going to be an exciting offense, I think. You bring up the good point. Look, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged with some of the things I'm hearing about Zach Gentry. I had him going on the practice squad and losing out to Raymond, but then Raymond got hurt. But I'm hearing, we're hearing a lot of good things about Zach Gentry. He's bulking up. He's doing well in the blocking drills. So maybe there's a guy that can step up and be the Matt Spathy kind of guy if they need him to be. And who knows? Sneak that sixth touchdown in against the Ravens from Ben. Matt Spath clone.
Matt Spath clone. Hey, Matt Spath, there's another thankless job. Very,
oh, it is.
On what do you want to say? No recognition. Among his teammates, obviously, but he does all the he did all the little quiet things and the dirty work that often goes unnoticed. So, I think we're done with the offensive side of the ball. I know there's some other names. The idea wasn't to go through every single name here. We're just touching on some of the things that we've been hearing and some of the rumblings. I haven't heard a whole lot as far as the defensive line, aside from Dan McCullers. I keep hearing about his improvement, but. I don't know. The other one here, the question mark is Chris Wormley, who hasn't been able to get on the field also. Yeah. And, Tomlin has said he's had time, he's a veteran, et cetera, et cetera. So another kind of, learn on the fly type thing. I don't know what his role is going to necessarily be either, whether he had time on the field or not. Everyone looks and they think 3-4. They're the 3-4. Got to have the Casey Hampton. We have not had a Casey Hampton since Casey Hampton went. And even when Casey Hampton went, this league was changing. This league was changing to a passing league, a lot of sub-package football. So it's a lot of traditional 3-4 stuff. Dan McCullers can plug right in there. Tyson Alualu can plug in there. You just got to worry about the grown-ass men. You got Cam Hayward. You got Stephon Tuitt. Stephon's back to being healthy. So I don't have any particular concerns with this group. I would like to see what Isaiah Bugs may even be capable of. Should he still be on this roster? I'm not sure. There's a lot of talk up from guys like Tunch and Wolf and about Henry Mondow, for example. So it'd be interesting to see, where everybody's roles are here, who makes the final cut, et cetera, et cetera. But I have no concerns on the defensive line.
My only concern is getting Cam Hayward extended and keeping him in Pittsburgh, because anything else is going to make me vomit and cry. But whether that happens this season or whether the business of football and the resulting salary cap issues we talked about with from COVID prevent that from happening, I don't know. But, man, you know, my bromance cannot handle that. I need Cam Hayward to remain a Steeler for life. That's just period. That's my only concern. Beyond that, these guys look good. You know, you got Cam, you got Tuitt, you got Tyson Alualu. You know, Big Dan does Big Dan type things, at least part of it, because, you know, there's a guy, you know, if he can take a couple steps forward, you know, and up his snaps from what, like six to eight a game to something more substantial and do it in a beneficial way, maybe all of a sudden, you know, he's got, I can't even believe he's lasted this long. You know what I mean? We keep writing him off. But you know, that gigantic shade tree that he is, Mike Tomlin can't stop the bromance that he's got with these big guys. And he manages to stay on the roster and contribute, and he's improved. So if he can make consistent improvement again, who knows, you know? But, you know, yeah, people have to let go. I'm one of them. I miss the big snack, right? I want Casey Hampton. I want my Casey Hampton back. but you do have to grow with the times, and you have to evolve as a person and a human being. And that's what this is all about. They don't play that kind of defense that much anymore. So if McCullers can take those snaps, you know, the 25% of the time that they're in base or whatever it is less, great. If not, okay. You know, but you're not gonna spend big money on a guy that's gonna clog up the middle when you only put him on the field 25% of the time.
Yeah, it's very inconsequential. A lot of people get worked up over it, and I still can't figure out why. You know, the guys that are...
They're like me. They're old, and they're stuck in their ways. and they're not like me, because I'm old, but I'm never stuck in my ways. And the reason is because I'm always right, and therefore I can't be stuck in my ways, because then I would be wrong sometimes.
Well, thinking about the linebackers, we had already talked about, you know, but yeah. I'm going away from that. Stuck in the ways. If you're really stuck in the ways, why don't we start talking about the 4-3? Ooh. Wasn't always the 3-4. That's
No, it wasn't.
When did the 3-4 start? Would that have been a Dom Capers thing, or was that with Coach Dad? You know, I gotta go back and look, man. I mean, it's
yeah. I don't remember.
Hasn't always.
I don't.
Does it predate
no,
that? Even
it hasn't always been, because we were definitely not a 3-4. When back in the day.
Yeah, not the steel curtain. A lot of people.
4-3, man.
A lot of people don't. It's revisionist history, or it's what have you done for me lately? It's the things that are most fresh in your brain sometimes, and people forget things. Jeez, I forget what I did this morning sometimes. So, but they, you know, for all intents and purposes, there's still at least two defensive linemen. You're going to have the four linebackers on the field. You're going to at least have the two edge guys. You're going to have Watt. You're going to have Dupree. I don't know how much Alex Highsmith gets on the field, but it sounds like he may have an edge on a bunch of people. Maybe not right out the gate. They may try and put Ola or somebody else like that out there. And you go inside, and I mean, Vince Williams, run stopper, send him on a blitz, because Devin Bush is the guy that kind of roams around and does all. And he said he feels more comfortable now calling the defenses and realizing everything. That's that jump he's making now into year two. And it's very exciting. They brought Jayrone Elliott back. I don't know if he has a spot on the 53 or not, but and he's an edge guy too. Or at least he was last year. But they're putting Marcus Allen in there now from the safety, because he likes to hit. That's what we're heard of. And we talked about this with the
pow.
Yes. Yoy. the whole the dimebacker role. And I haven't heard a whole lot off of Antoine Brooks at this point. So maybe Marcus Allen's finally finding a role here. They need somebody to kind of, believe it or not, be the Mark Barron type. Will that be Ulysses Gilbert? Will that be Marcus Allen? I guess they're playing with some different things here. And you know what? I think all of that kind of gets to be inconsequential when you jump over to the secondary, Brian, because we're hearing all these different things. I put Terrell Edmonds on my hot seat only for he's been banged up. I put the article out on the website this morning. coincidentally, now Steelers.com has interviews with him talking about all this stuff too. So the timing was just, you know, it was complete coincidence because I wrote the article late last night. I had no idea what the Steelers were putting out, but everybody wants to call him like a weak link. The only reason I would say he's on the hot seat is he's a first round pick and he's surrounded by all of these other great players right now. And that may continue to make him look like a weak link regardless. But next year, they'll have to decide. We're talking salary caps and everything else. They have to make that fifth-year option decision on a first-round pick a year early. They don't get to do it when his contract's almost up. So this year is really, you know, show me something. Now, they still have a couple of years to make a decision, obviously, because next year they could decide not to option him, and they may not draft anyone, and then they may wait until 2022 or something like that if he's not the guy. So I still believe he has the upside there. A lot of the depth behind them at safety is kind of concerning, but Cam Sutton, I guess, is playing all over the place, and he's putty, according to his coaches. We talked about last year, we haven't talked about it as much this year, how Terrell Austin came in, and they broke up these duties. They have two coaches there in the secondary, you know, working with these guys. That was obviously an improvement. Getting Minkah Fitzpatrick's obviously an improvement last year. Steven Nelson. This has really all come together. I see this overall picture. The reason why I started to jump into all of this and just throw the defense in here, I don't see any chance, barring injury, of regression with this group. If anything, the offense not going three and out all the time and having these less than 2 minute real time or game time drives, these guys are going to be fresh and they're going to be raring to go. This defense is going to be unbelievable, and the only thing that sucks about it is I'm not going to be able to get them on my fantasy squad because now they're actually being recognized as one of the formidable groups in the NFL.
Yeah, I really don't see these guys sliding backwards. They're just too loaded. And look, you talked about Alex Highsmith. I'm going to say this again. I'm so hyped on a couple of these guys, these rookies, and I'm not usually a guy that gets on the rookie hype train. I don't start these Zacadonia hives. That's a second call out for Zacadonia in this episode.
That's way too many.
I don't even know what the hell a hive is.
You should be paying us. That's the thing that grows on your body and you got to go see a doctor for it.
Yeah, it's like that the TikTok thing. I don't understand the damn TikTok, and I don't want to. Don't even explain it to me. I don't care.
Hey, Paul, what do you think about the TikTok there? Eh?
I don't know nothing about the TikTok. The TikTok is something like, it's like the mouse ran up the clock. That's all I know about the TikTok. Alex Highsmith is going to press for time. You watch. He's going to jump Ola, and he's going to get snaps. And when Bud and TJ come off the field, you're going to see some Alex Highsmith. He has done some impressive stuff. I'm really psyched about Alex Highsmith in the future. Unfortunately, what I do think that means is it's less likely Bud gets a long-term deal. Because I think Alex Highsmith is showing up and could be the next Bud Dupree, so to speak, in this offense. He could be the guy that pairs with TJ. TJ's not going anywhere, by the way, I don't think. At the end of this franchise tag, I don't know. It's not that I want him to. I'll take all three of them. Hell with it. But, you know, I like Bud. Always have, and I always will, but you know, there's only so much money you can invest in that position. So don't sleep on Alex Highsmith. When you start to add that in, so in those situations where TJ and Bud come off the field, if you've got legitimate pass rushers who are going to come in, teams can't take advantage of their taking a break and say, oh, we could throw the ball now, right? And you're absolutely right. The biggest benefit to this defense is going to be the fact that they are not going to have to be on the field as much. The offense is going to give them breaks. The offense is going to put points up. And these guys are going to get the benefit of being potentially in the lead. Oh, that never happened last season.
What is
in the
that?
Lead?
What is
what
that?
Is the lead?
I don't.
How do you not play from behind? Oh, my goodness. So I see nothing but upside on these guys. They're going to be better. This could be the best defense in the league.
I agree. Do we need to say anything about special teams? Just hoping Cam Kanaday is healthy and ready to go too, because you've had the same long snapper, holder, kicker combo here for a few years. As much as You know, that's another thing I didn't think about when I was discussing whether or not Jordan Berry and his job could be at risk is, hey, he's the guy who holds the ball here when Boswell's kicking all those field goals to beat the Bengals like he does. So I understand you could probably get – people think you could get anybody to do that. But the chemistry there is also something to acknowledge as well. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. We're going to know soon enough everyone that makes the team. I think we pretty much had this figured out. I think Tina and I go through and we were looking at the bottom half. We were saying basically only 11 of these names that need to disappear. If you want to kick it out a little further, the 13, I would say they could add a name or two from maybe someone else's releases or drops. And there's, you know, there's the possibility they won't be able to necessarily sign everyone back too, because players are going to go to waivers and then teams are going to assemble practice squads. You don't always get everyone back that you cut. You never know. A player may see that there may be a better opportunity somewhere else per their agent or whatever else. Maybe they like the weather better or have family somewhere. So those type of things factor in as well. But, it, you know, for all intents and purposes, again, 69 players total when you include that expanded practice squad. So we're going to see this weekend how that all pans out. And Brian, it was good seeing you pan out. It was
absolutely. Finally. It's always nice to be back. You know, finally, I feel like we've had our own troubles in the off season, just coordinating scheduling and whatnot. So it's always good to be back on with you. And I'm gonna post this to you right now. Posit this to you. You gonna do the 5K virtual run? The Steelers 5K virtual run?
Man, do it. I don't run for anything. Do it. I don't like I. Unless I'm running for my life, that would probably be the only thing I'm running anytime soon. I mean, and this is something coming from a guy who's been – I'm just athletically worn out. I got pretty banged up and injured officiating last year. I haven't been as forthcoming with some of those injuries. And then again, I don't know. I may have mentioned this one in January. I totally – they thought I broke my ankle. That's how bad it looked. It was just that bad of a sprain. The thing looked like you put it in a cast. And then you painted it black and blue. It's one of the most ugliest things you could have seen. And it took me months to rehab that stupid thing and still feeling some effects of that. So, combined with, you know, the whole, gyms being closed for X amount of time and all these other things, running has been the least of my concerns as of late. I'll eventually be the little, hamster gerbil that gets back on the wheel, at some point, but I'm just looking to continue to kind of relax right now. So 5K, not in my near future, my friend, but maybe in the distant future, I'll be back to running around like a, you know, like a chicken with my head cut off, like I had been for the last 24 years.
I got up this morning and did a 10K just for the hell of it. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh yeah, I hear it. This guy's going. If you follow Brian and you see some of his exploits, he looks like he's taking the ring back to Mordor. I mean, you've been doing a lot of like hiking and wilderness and everything like that. It's crazy. Yeah. So he's taking his precious and
precious.
Yes. And on that note, my name's Joe. His name's Brian. Brian, thanks for joining me once again, my friend. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. We're up against it right here. And we look forward to games just around the corner here and some real news. So as always, we encourage our listeners out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.